Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show. Pointing you home on WMAL.
It's been a good show today. I really have enjoyed you being here with me and sharing this time together. Some of you are just in for a few minutes and on your way out the door, but regardless, I'm grateful that you would listen to me, and I'm always grateful for the times that you reach out to me, and I can help you in some way. I'm grateful to do that as well. As I've said before, the ericstewartgroup.com website is just really a great hub of information, and we now provide our information so you can download it right there on the website and read it right away if you want, although we do mail free copies too if you'd prefer a hard copy. I want to mention just a couple of houses that we have currently for sale, and one's going to be open today, and that's in Potomac, Maryland at 12254 Greenleaf Avenue in Potomac. It's a $525,000 townhome that actually is in the Churchill High School District. Beautiful kitchen, upgraded bathrooms, gorgeous lot, stone wall outside, upgraded windows, full finished, beautifully done basement, gas, heat, electric, air conditioning. Really a nice value considering the school, the location. It's literally just a couple minutes to get onto 270 right at Montrose Road. For more information, go to ericstewartgroup.com or pop by and visit us today sometime between 2 and 4. That's at 12254 Greenleaf Avenue in Potomac, Maryland. Also, we put a property on the market in Washington, D.C., that's a cooperative. It's a 530 N Street in Washington, D.C., built in the Harbor Square Cooperative Subdivision. It's a project that overlooks the Potomac River. If you've thought about downsizing, you're thinking about one-level living, I encourage you to take a peek at the virtual tour, the views of the property, and so on at ericstewartgroup.com. And then finally, in Virginia, we've got a host of properties we've just put up for sale, and we encourage you to take a peek there, too. Need more information? Well, go to ericstewartgroup.com. Hey, in last month's Beacon newspaper, there was an article by Bob Levy. We've all read Bob Levy before, most of us have, but I thought this was quite poignant, especially as I've developed the nonprofit called Widow Care. You've heard my ads here on WMAL, and my goal has been to create a nonprofit to provide neighborly services to sustain widows in distress and widowers as well, and to help them get up back on their feet, transition back into life, and not become isolated and suffer from job loss and other things, which is common when someone loses a spouse. So if you've not read about Widow Care, I encourage you to go to our website at widowcare.org for more information. We do have a social network there that we're starting, and we're encouraging people to come. In fact, we have a social event on May 17th, and we're encouraging widows and widowers to partake in that. If you'd like more information, again, go to widowcare.org, or you can call our toll-free number at the Eric Stewart Group, and I'll introduce you to our executive director. That toll-free number is 1-800-900-9104. So Bob Levy wrote the following. It's been a very tough year for my friend Charlie. His wife died at age 75 after a prolonged and complicated illness. Understandably, her death left Charlie, age 77, adrift. He's had a great deal of trouble getting his equilibrium back. One decision that Charlie has found very comforting is to preserve the couple's decades-old greeting on his answering machine. It's the voice of his departed wife. She says, very sweetly, that you should please leave a message after the beep. Every time I hear her say that, I feel better, not worse, Charlie told me. But now he's in the middle of a four-alarm dispute with his adult children. They want him to strip their mother's voice off the voicemail greeting and to replace it with some generic voice, with Charlie's, with the anonymous voice of some Hollywood star, anything but their mother's dulcet tones. My daughter says it creeps her out to hear her mother say, "Thank you for calling," almost a year after she died. Charlie said, "But it's my phone, it's my voicemail machine. Can't the kids be a little more understanding about this?" Evidently not. So Charlie booked me for lunch so I could play tiebreaker and counselor. My first step was to gather some facts. "Do you have other mementos of her around the house?" Charlie said he did. Old family pictures remain on display. Her favorite art still hangs on the wall. "But it's not ghoulish, Bob," he said. "It's just a way to remember her, not to bathe in grief. The voicemail greeting is in the same spirit." Next, I lobbied some questions. Has Charlie altered anything in his home since his wife's death? The paint on the living room walls, maybe. the way he stacks coffee mugs in the kitchen cabinet. Not a thing, he said. I do everything the way she always did, because that was an us decision. So it's still an us decision, even though there's no us anymore. Next, some good-natured honesty. I told Charlie that if my wife dies before I do, the very first thing I will do is to leave the lid of the toilet up after I use it. She hates that, so I bend to her wishes. Can Charlie point to any similar couple habits that he has bent or broken since his wife died? Not one, he said. I still load the forks into the dishwasher, teeth down, as she always insisted. I still rotate the bath towels in exactly the same order. And by the way, Charlie said, I still put the toilet seat lid down after I use the toilet. We had a chuckle over that, but a rueful one. Next, a probe or two about the couple's children. Couldn't Charlie argue that the voice on his answering machine is his business and not theirs? Well, I've done that exactly, Bob, he said. But my daughter said that making decisions that she and I agree on is a way to stay connected to me and to honor her mother. I think that's a wee bit self-serving, but I don't want to drive wedges between the kids and me right now, so I haven't pressed it. But you also haven't stripped your wife's voice off the answering machine, have you? No, I don't say I never will, but I'm just not ready to do it yet. Can't your kids understand that? Well, they say that they can, but then they keep bringing it up. I think I'm about to do what they want for the sake of family peace. I pointed out to Charlie that there were two issues here. Keeping a recording of his wife's voice is one, and using it the way he's using it is two. The answer here, for the sake of family peace as well as for the sake of Charlie's rights, is to have his cake and eat it, too. I said, make a separate recording of his wife's greeting and keep it in a drawer somewhere, and at the same time, make a new recording for the answering machine. My friend's face spread slowly into a light bulb just went on grin. You're a genius, you know that? He said. I poo-pooed over the statement, but I did tell Charlie that every time I clanked down the lid of the toilet from now on, I'd be thinking of him. Huh, with friends like you, Bob, he said. Thanks, Bob Levy, for that. Solomonic wisdom for a widowed friend. Becoming widowed or becoming a widower is a hard transition for anyone that suffers. And maybe you're the child of someone who's suffering through that process, and you'd like to provide them some encouragement. I would also encourage you to go to widowcare.org. We provide information there for free, and we have a social network we're developing now. And we have an event coming up in just a couple weeks, and we invite you to partake. That's widowcare.org. I'm Eric Stewart, back in a moment.